Open your Bibles to John chapter 20. I'm going to read verse 29, and then we'll go back and we'll read verses 24 through 29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Amen. Let's pray for a moment together. Ask Jesus to have his way, to help us recognize his presence. Lord Jesus Christ, I worship you because you are the living God. You care about each one of us. You care about what we're doing here. We ask, oh God, for your manifestation of your glory, your presence, your hand for each of us according to our need and according to your will in our lives. We ask, oh God, for your blessing on this service, continued blessing on this service in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. You may be seated. Verse 24 of John chapter 20. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas said with them, "Jesus came," and Thomas with them, "Jesus came," the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. Reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Praise God. How many here this morning believe in God? How many here this morning believe in Jesus Christ? Amen. How many believe Jesus is God? We have a story here about Thomas the Apostle. He was called sometimes by many Doubting Thomas, but the Bible doesn't call him that. It calls him the twin, calls him Didymus. It doesn't give him that label. It's indicated from his behavior that perhaps he had some doubts. Some people say that he's the example of a double-minded man. Can't quite decide what he believes or what he feels. But I wonder sometimes if we need to look at things from his perspective a little bit. Maybe Thomas thought he was being a realist. Maybe he thought he was being objective. Maybe he thought he was being scientific. We don't really know what he thought, except that he questioned the resurrection of Jesus, and he wanted proof. He wanted something that he could see, something he could touch, something he could feel, something tangible. Now, most of us here, I think all of us, raised our hand when I asked who believed in God and who believed in Jesus, and I think most said Jesus is God. But I guess that's what we would expect in a one God apostolic church service on a Sunday morning when everyone's gathered together. But you probably might have expected that from all of the apostles. After all, they walked with Jesus. But Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared the first time in the upper room. Thomas didn't see it. He didn't have that experience. And he questioned. Kind of hard for me to understand how, looking at 11 others that he knew that well, and they all agreed, and he said, "No, I don't believe it." I'm not sure why he would take that perspective. You think that when he said that, when he said, "Let me put my finger in the hole in his hand. Let me put my hand in his," you think that he really thought that he would actually be confronted with that possibility? Think how he felt when Jesus showed up, and there's the hands. How often do we say things that we haven't really thought through before they come out of our mouth? Even things to do with faith and belief. Even things to do with the scripture or who God is. We won't even talk about politicians that say things that we wish they wouldn't. Do you think he ever imagined that he would be standing there in front of the 11 and in front of Jesus Christ himself, looking at the hole in his side, confronted with those very words? What do you think he would have said earlier in the day if someone would have said, Thomas, do you believe in God? Certainly he would have said, yeah, I believe in God. Of course I do. We're in Israel. I'm an Israelite. We're God's people. Yes, I believe in God. I've been taught the Torah since a child. I can probably quote more scriptures than you. Well, do you believe in Jesus? Well, yes, I believe in Jesus. I was his apostle. I walked with him. I know Jesus. Amen. There's a lot of us that are confident that we know God, that we know Jesus. The Bible says, not the Bible, but Pew Research is a little different than the Bible. Pew Research says that 63% of Americans, surveyed about 35,000 people, and their numbers said about 63% believe in God. They're absolutely certain that God exists. Amen. I'm absolutely certain God exists. Then 20% said that they're fairly certain that God exists. They believe in God. They believe in him, and they're fairly certain that he exists. I'm not sure how those two things go together, but that's 20%. Worry a little bit about those guys. And then there's 5% that say that they believe in God, but they're not all that certain. Amen. I've read stories about preachers and religious teachers who fit into that 5%. I think God exists. Well, why are you teaching? Why are you preaching? Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, I got to do something. Then there's 1%. They believe in God, but they really don't know. That adds up to 89% of that 35,000, which is supposed to be a representative number. 89% of Americans believe in one way or another that God exists. So you could say that's 9 out of 10 people. Now Madison might might trend a little lower than that, but we're talking about all across the United States. 89% of people believe in God. Praise God. Well, I think that's a good thing. I hope that's a good thing. 9 of 10 people. But then ask them, do you believe in Jesus? That's a little different. There's a separation in a lot of people's minds. All of the adults, only 56% believe that Jesus was God. Not only that, but a larger number, most adults, 92% say that Jesus was a real person. All right, do you believe in Jesus? What does that question mean? You ask that question to people, and 92% in America will probably say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But what does that mean to them? I believe he existed. I believe he was a real person. What does that mean to you when you say, I believe in Jesus? When you raise your hand, what does that mean? 92%. Only 56% believed Jesus was God, and about one quarter of the people questioned say that he was a religious or spiritual leader like Muhammad or Buddha, about 26% actually. And the remaining 1 in 6 say they're not really sure whether Jesus was anything more than just a man. Just a guy. What do you believe in Jesus? Praise God. Sometimes I think we don't really recognize Jesus. I want to talk about recognizing Jesus. Here's Thomas, one of the 12. He walked with Jesus. I'm sure that if someone had asked him that day, "Do you believe in Jesus?" he would have said yes. But obviously he didn't really believe that he rose from the dead. I believe in Jesus. Now you ask that, they don't have that number in this research. The other poll that I was citing was a Barna poll. They don't have that answer. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? It amazes me, people I talk to, I say, "Do you believe in Jesus?" They say, "Yes." But I don't really believe in the resurrection. I don't really believe that he rose from the dead. I believe he was real. Then where do you get your understanding of who Jesus is? That's like saying, "Well, I believe Bishop Grant exists, but I don't think he ever really pastored Calvary Gospel Church." Come on. Where do you get your information on Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Do you believe that he rose from the dead? Well, I'm not sure. You know, the Bible says that God reveals himself in his creation. That we can walk outside and watch the world happen around us. We can see the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun day after day after day, and we can recognize that there's some kind of order in this universe. We can see the glory of God and the beauty of the reality around us. For centuries, philosophers and theologians have come up with various proofs, even, and arguments on the existence of God. I mean, even the Star Wars series came up with the Force. They had to have something, right? I mean, you can't just ignore the fact that we exist. We came from somewhere. There's order in the universe. It doesn't happen by accident. There's something in us that resonates with the knowledge of a creator. It answers a lot of questions that exist in our very psyche. There must be purpose. There must be a reason. But some people, they squelch that realization, that recognition. They deny that reality because then there's an accountability. If there's a being so great and so wonderful that he designed this universe and gave me my very life, then at some level I must be accountable to him. But the history of mankind says that the knowledge of God, the awareness of God, the recognition of a creator has been with us from the beginning. Paul, in the book of Acts, was in Athens, and he met with a group of philosophers there on Mars Hill, and he saw all of these statues, and each one was dedicated to a different god. And at the end of the row, there was one that was dedicated to the unknown god. They believed in gods, plural. They believed in another realm. In their philosophy, at least most of them did. That was actually some of the discussion they had, was whether there is a better world or another world, or many of them believed only in an underworld or only in a higher reality, depending on their philosophical bent. But the discussion was there, was part of the basis of the Greek culture, was based on their pursuit of truth and understanding. because of this realization that there was order in their world and somewhere there was a God or gods that they had to account to. And Paul said, this statue at the end here, this unknown God, I can tell you about him. I can tell you all about this unknown God. He can be known, he said. As a matter of fact, he is not far from any one of us if only we'll reach out to him. We all come here this morning with a different understanding, a different realization, a different recognition of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. But no matter how far in your search for truth you have progressed, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is not far from you if only you'll reach out to him. I read about two things in preparing for this called a general revelation and a special revelation. I would call it a personal revelation. And I'm not sure, you know, when we study things, we try and categorize them and draw lines at where they begin and end. And I'm not sure you can do that with God's revelation, that you can say this is God's general revelation, and at this point, you received a personal revelation. I'm not sure that's true. But I believe that there is in our world a general recognition, a general revelation of God. You don't have to go far to find it. It's a question, even in any world, in the political world, even you go into the sports world and it comes up, it just doesn't matter. There's always somewhere this question, this discussion, this recognition of the presence of God at work in human affairs. That's a general revelation. I want to talk this morning about a personal revelation. I believe that Jesus Christ wants to know you on a personal basis. I believe he wants you to know him on a personal basis. Look at Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, verse 14, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. This is just after the crucifixion. And this is Cleopas and his companion. Most people believe it's his wife. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Praise God. That's, to me, means something when Jesus draws near to me. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Praise God. Sometimes Jesus comes close to us and we don't even recognize him. He's trying to do something in our life and we don't even know his hand is in it. Oh, I came to church this morning because somebody invited me. That was Jesus coming near to you. I felt something this morning I never felt before. Yes, praise God, Jesus is drawing near to you. But sometimes we don't recognize him. Another way to say this, the Bible, where it says that they couldn't see him or their eyes were holden, their eyes were restrained. I don't know why they didn't recognize him. Maybe it was because he was in his transformed nature. The Bible says that when the dead in Christ shall rise, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet them in the air, and we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This mortality shall put on immortality. We're gonna look as pretty as we always wanted to. Amen. And maybe that's why. Maybe it was because he was transfigured. Or maybe it was just because their carnal minds were so thick they could not comprehend what they were seeing. Somehow their eyes were restrained. They could not recognize him. God is in our lives whether we recognize him or not. Jesus is here this morning, whether you recognize him or not, but I want us all to recognize Jesus before we leave here today. Praise God. He can be walking right alongside of us and we never know it. Jesus told Philip in John 14, Philip said, show us the Father and we'll be happy. And Jesus said, Philip, I've been with you for so long. 3.5 years I've been walking with you and you still don't recognize me? He told his disciples also in John 14 that the Spirit of truth has been with you. All along, the Spirit of truth has been with you. He was talking about himself. He said, but it shall be in you. Praise God. He went on to say that this Spirit will reveal all things to you, whatever I have taught you. The things that the Father has given to me, he'll reveal to you. And you'll be in me, Jesus said, as I am in the Father. Praise God. I want to recognize Jesus in my life. I want to recognize Jesus in my heart. I want to recognize Jesus in my brother and in my sister. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Why don't we lift our hands for a moment? Praise God. Jesus is here. That's Jesus, that spirit you're feeling, that touch you're experiencing. Oh, praise God. Let's recognize him. Let's worship him for a moment. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He not only is walking alongside of you, that the reason you came here today, whether you realize it or not, is because Jesus was bringing you here. And he wants to dwell inside of you. Any moment during this service, you can lift your hands and call on the name of Jesus. Ask him to fill you with his presence. Repent from your sins. And you can begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. Praise God. It's good if you come down and pray and we help you do that. But you can do that right where you are. The Spirit of God is here. Recognize Jesus. Praise God. In Acts chapter 1, after Jesus had risen from the dead, the resurrected Savior walked with them. The Bible says for 40 days he walked with them and taught them concerning the kingdom of God. And after he visited them one last time, and before he left, he said, you will receive the Holy Ghost not many days from now, but wait here in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. Praise God. That's what he was talking about in John when he said, I have been with you, but I shall be in you. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when they were all in one place, in one mind, in one accord, they were all getting along like they were like we're supposed to. And they were worshiping God and seeking him together. And suddenly, say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. The Bible says there were about 120 of them, even Mary, the mother of Jesus. Next time you see one of these ladies worshiping and dancing and speaking in tongues here, just think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Praise God. We need to recognize Jesus. We need to recognize what's going on here. We need to recognize that he's walking with us, even when it's dark, even when it's troubling, even when we're not sure where we're walking with Jesus. Oh, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Colossians 1:27 says that God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, the mystery that God was manifest in the flesh, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Romans 8, verses 9 through 11 say this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Notice, in the same phrase, in the same sentence, in the same scripture verse, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost is Christ in us. The Bible says the hope of glory. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means give life, to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. Recognize Jesus. He's walking with us. He's here today. He wants to dwell inside of us. Those two people on the road, they did not recognize Jesus at first. Think about that. They had been walking with him for a while, for 3.5 years. I remember when I first started seeking more understanding about God. I lived in a dorm on campus, and there was a guy who lived in the room next to me, and he was the resident Jesus guy on our floor. Not sure what he all believed, but he would say little things to me. I would talk about Jesus. If I would say Jesus Christ, he would say Jesus the Christ. And you know, I was raised in a church, and I went every Sunday for about 17 years or so, and so I thought I knew pretty well what I was talking about. Now again, I don't know what he really. I think he and I would still disagree about a lot of things today, but he knew some things that I didn't, but I assumed that because I was raised in a church that I knew just as much as he did. He had one advantage over me, however. He read the Bible. So when he would start quoting scriptures, I'd say, They walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and there he is alongside of them, and they don't even know who he is. They don't recognize him. But the Bible says that when he began to speak to them the word of God, their hearts burned within them. When the word of God began to touch them and work in them, something began to happen. Something was changed. They recognized the presence of God. They felt the presence of God, but they still didn't recognize it. And they began to understand the scriptures. And when dinner time rolled around, they sat down to eat with him. Look at verse 30 of Luke 24. It came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took the bread and blessed it. And broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. Praise God. They recognized Jesus. When he sat down and broke the bread with them. Oh, praise God. Now, in our culture, we come and go and we have lunch and we stop at Hardee's or Culver's or whatever restaurant is your favorite. Red Lobster. And sometimes those are meaningful meals, and sometimes it's just a meeting that we have to have or whatever. But when they sat down and broke bread, it was a personal thing. It was a time to open up. And in that moment, when they allowed themselves to be open to God, allowed themselves to be open to Jesus, whom they didn't realize that's what they were doing at the moment, As soon as they opened up to him, he was able to reveal himself to them. Praise God. See, what happens sometimes is us church people, because we have an experience that we think everyone needs, everyone should have. And I believe that's true, at least this far. Maybe we all need to go further. I believe we do. But we talk to others sometimes, and sometimes this is what they hear. This isn't what we're saying, but this is what they hear. They hear that you don't know God, and I do. If you're here this morning, maybe that's how you're feeling. I don't know God. These people do. He's been walking with you all along. And we're not trying to take anything away from anybody. Praise God. We're just saying there's more. He wants to reveal more of himself to every one of us. We need to recognize Jesus in everything we do. Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to open your understanding. That's the phrase the Bible uses. We need to recognize Jesus when he comes to us. The presence of God that we feel here, that's Jesus Christ knocking on the door of our heart. Praise God. We're not likely to see Thomas in the flesh. I mean, like Thomas see Jesus in the flesh. We're not likely to. Maybe someone here will have that vision, but the majority of humanity has never had that experience. To see the spear in his side and the holes in his hand, the Bible makes it pretty clear that the day will come when we all see that. Amen. But it's probably not going to happen in the flesh, but he still wants to reveal himself to you. If you're here today, which you are because you can hear me speaking probably, I think you're here, mostly here. The truth is Jesus has probably been walking with you for quite a while. And maybe when you lost your job, you didn't recognize that he was still with you. Maybe when your marriage went sour, you didn't realize that he was still there with you. Maybe when your friend invited you to church, or when you woke up this morning, you did not recognize it, but he has been walking alongside of you every day. Maybe you believe in God. If you're here, you probably do. Probably everyone here. I think everyone raised their hand. I believe in God. I think everyone said, I believe in Jesus. Praise God. But he wants more than that. He wants to be your Lord. Thomas, when he saw Jesus in the flesh, he saw it right before his eye, the very thing that he never expected to see. He fell on his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. Now, when he calls him Lord, that's a personal relationship. That's a personal revelation. You are my Lord. My life belongs to you. That's what Jesus wants us to recognize, that he is our Lord and our God. Maybe he already is in your life, but he wants to reveal more of himself to you. Let's stand. Oh, praise God. There are many places in the Bible where Jesus revealed himself in a personal manner. I think of Mary Magdalene at the tomb. I've been studying the book of John, and it's very clear that John purposely made a point of showing that Mary was the first one to see him. Now, that was not a common mindset in the day that John wrote his gospel, that somehow a woman would be the first one to have a spiritual revelation, that God would reveal himself to her. But he made it a point that this very personal moment when Mary was there and she talked to the man she thought was the gardener. Where have you taken him? And listen, he called her name. He said, Mary. Praise God. I believe God's calling some names here today. I believe Jesus, the risen Savior, not the Jesus in the book or the Jesus of Sunday school story, but the risen Savior, the living Jesus Christ, is walking around in this place. Oh, praise God. He is risen, as he said. And I believe there are some people here, you can hear him speaking your name. Praise God. Recognize that's the voice of Jesus. That's God himself talking to you. He wants not only to be with you, but he wants to dwell in you. You can be filled with his Spirit. You can be lifted to another level of recognition. You can draw closer to him than ever before this morning if you'll recognize who he is and respond when he calls your name. Praise God. He wants a fuller relationship with each one of us. His Spirit has been with us, but he wants to live in us. He wants you to be one of his own. Praise God. If you have never been filled with God's Holy Spirit and you want to have that experience this morning, I want to invite you to come and pray here on this side of the altar. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, he will wash your sins away, the Bible says, and put his name on your very life if you will come and repent from your sin. Ask him to forgive you. Praise God. Come to this side and meet with Jesus. Hallelujah. He's our healer, the Bible says. If you need healing this morning, if you need physical touch from God, praise God. Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Acts that he went around and he did good. That means what people needed, he helped them with. What is your need this morning? If you have a physical need, Jesus knows what it is. And if you're struggling with something, I don't know, maybe you have a tax problem. Maybe you have an emotional issue. Maybe there's unforgiveness in your heart. That's a big one. Praise God. But Jesus is here. Recognize that he cares about you. The Bible says we can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. Why don't you come right down here in the middle and let him meet with you. Recognize that he's here and that he's talking to you and that he's called your name. Praise God. Let's recognize Jesus before we leave. Let's recognize his presence. Let's recognize his name. Let's recognize his work in our life. Praise God. He is the Almighty God manifest in the flesh, and he's here to meet with each one of us. Praise God. Come and pray. A lot of people here that are praying. Praise God, if you're comfortable working at the altar, come and join them and help them meet with God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, if you're here praying, once you have asked Jesus for what you need, to lift your hands, to lift them up and worship him. Praise God. Give him your whole heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let it rain. Let it rain. Praise God. He cares about you. He loves you. Open the floodgates. There is no sin too great. There is nothing you could have done that would keep him from loving you. He will forgive any sin that we have committed. If only we will repent. Surrender ourselves to him. Trust him.
Praise God. That's it. Continue to make your way down to the front. Go come on down to the front. Let God fill you with the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Come on down to the front. Let God fill you with the Holy Spirit.